I want to speak to you this evening about having a vision for the world. You know, Jesus said in Mark 1, 17 and 18, to some men who were beside the Sea of Galilee, He said, "Come, follow Me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And the verse 18 says, "And they left their nets and followed Him." You know, Jesus spoke these words to two fishermen, Simon and Andrew. They were there along the shore of Galilee, and these men heard God incarnate call them to follow Him. Jesus was up close, personal, and intense, and they listened. The truth is that He makes this call to all of us. Remember the encounter in the 8th chapter of Luke when Jesus cast demons out of the man, and afterwards the man said, "Let me go with you." He was ready to follow Him anywhere. But Jesus answered, "Listen, I want you to go back and tell what God has done for you to your family." Now, you know, most of the Christians that Alice and I encounter in the U.S. believe that is what God wants of them. Most of you here have said, "This is where Almighty God wants me to serve Him, here in the U.S. I don't believe it. I do not believe it. The big thing that is on God's heart is the Great Commission. And He wants believers like you and me to participate with Him in bringing that to pass. The answer to all of life's most important questions is still the same. Come to Jesus and follow Him. Life itself is a big question mark. And Jesus Christ is the big answer. Colossians 2:15 says that Christ is the visible likeness of the invisible God. He's the firstborn, superior to all created things. And the Apostle John said in 1 John 5:11 and 12 that this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life has its source in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Now for Peter and Andrew, God intervenes in their lives, and they saw the reality of a holy God in the flesh. They didn't see or understand all the pieces of the puzzle, but they heard the voice of Jesus saying, "Come, follow Me." John 6:38, Jesus said, "I have come down from heaven not to do My own will, but the will of Him who sent Me." He's the only one who has done the complete will of God. He's the only one worth following. You know, some 30 years ago, when God gave me a vision for making disciples, discipleship, I realized, was based on a devotion to Jesus. When I was touched by the Holy Spirit and I saw who Jesus is, I discovered that I must love Him personally and passionately above all others. He wanted me to be singly focused on following just Him. The Scriptures tell us in Joshua 14 that Caleb wholly and completely followed the Lord. Now Moses said that about him. Now old Moses may have been biased because Caleb was a good buddy of his. But you know who else said that about him? Almighty God said it about him, that the great passion of Caleb was to follow the Lord. Jesus said, "Come, follow me." You know, when we go to campuses in East Africa and present the gospel, telling those students about Jesus dying on the cross for their sin, and through their faith and trust in Him, they can be redeemed, born again, redeemed because of the blood of Jesus, and that Jesus is calling each one of them to follow Him. These students are open and listening. It hasn't changed since we first arrived in 1971. If you and I were to visit Kenya and Uganda and go on the campuses of the University of Nairobi or Edgerton University or Makerere in Kampala, Uganda, and we were to knock on doors and present the gospel to young men and women, if we were to present the gospel to 10, 1, 2, perhaps even 3 would be ready to accept Christ as their Savior and follow Him. The same is true for Tanzania and Rwanda and the Congo, except that in Tanzania you're going to have to be able to speak a little Swahili. And if you go to the Congo or Rwanda, you're going to have to speak French. But all of those countries are open to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, about a resurrected Jesus. Jesus said, "Come, follow me." And then He said, "I will make you to become." Jesus said, "I will light some fires in your heart that will never go out. I will pound on your life. I'll beat on your head and I'll break your heart. I will make you to become." You know, He's the one who molds us and bends us. And sometimes He even has to break us. You know, when I left the seminary, I went to an old church in Georgia, First Baptist Church, Georgia, as a very young assistant minister. After I preached the first time there, an elderly woman named Mrs. Summerall came to me and said, "Alan, I've heard you preach, and I think I can help you. You know, young man, if you were to meet with me, I believe I could help your preaching." That was very encouraging. I discovered that this lady was a poet, an author. She had real gifts in the area of communication. She suggested that we have a session together every week so that she could work on my preaching. She could help me with my enunciation and my working on my illustrations. So for nearly 3 years, I met with this one little lady in this big auditorium at First Baptist Church, Augusta, Georgia, and I would preach to her at noontime every Friday afternoon. She would help me with things like, "Alan, don't say guts. Say intestinal fortitude." She did all she could to try to help me with my preaching. And just about the time I was about to leave First Baptist Augusta and to become a senior minister of my own church, we met for our last session together. And after I had preached to her for this last time, we sat down together and she looked me in the eyes and said, "You know, Alan, you're ready. You're ready. You have all the tools and the ability, all the things that you need to be a shepherd. You have everything you need," she said, "except one." I said, "Well, Mrs. Summerall, what is it that I need?" "Alan," she said, "what you need is to have your heart broken. You need to have your heart broken. Jesus said, I will make you to become. And you know, you and I must be different if we're going to make a difference. There's a terrible verse in Hebrews 5, verse 8 that says, even though he was God's son, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And if that is true for him, the one who is without sin in his life, if that is how he learned, what does that mean for you and me? If these fishermen would follow him, he would work on their lives. He would make them to become. And the same is true for you and me. The truth is that he loves us so much, he cannot keep his hands off of us. He loves us so much that he lives in us. He loves us so much that he wants us to love him back. He wants to be with us. And he wants us to follow him so that he can make us to become. He wants to spend time with him so that we will know his love, so that we will know what real life is, so that we will learn that he is all we need and that he is all that we have. I tell you, he wants you to get to know him so well that you can tell us about his heart. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to serve the King, you must have the heart of the King. Several years ago, I found a man struggling. Nothing was going right for him. He had family problems, financial problems, but most of all, he had spiritual problems. But he was open and eager and searching. He's what we call a fat guy. He was faithful and available and teachable. Well, I had some training, so I began to try to help this man. I began to help him learn how to spend time with God and memorize verses and share the gospel. I passed on the vision that I had about making disciples and being part of the Great Commission. And I remember I spent a lot of time with him. And after I'd been with him for several years, I was spending man-to-man time with him one day, and I asked him how he was doing. And he said, Stickney, I am falling in love with Jesus. Right now, that businessman has a ministry. Jesus is the Lord of his life. He has a hook and line in the water all the time. Now, not so he can catch fish, but so that he can fish for men in order to make disciples. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Fishers of men. You know that the world is far more ready to hear the gospel than we are prepared to tell them. You know that? An African pastor friend of mine says that if God holds responsible those who do not know him, what is he going to do with those who do know him and don't tell others? You remember that the first thing that Andrew did when he discovered that Jesus was the Messiah was to go and tell his brother Simon about it. I have found him, he said. I have found him. And then he took him to meet Jesus. I remember sitting on the grass in front of one of the men's dorms at the Agricultural University in Kenya. I was talking to two fellows about the necessity in their lives about making Jesus their Lord and Savior. And while I was talking to them, two more men came along and stopped and asked, what is the white guy talking about? And we let them sit down. I began to talk to them. And then three or four more came, and then some others. And finally, there were about 20 fellows that were there. And I got them in a circle and began to try to deal with each one, one-on-one, about their relationship with Jesus Christ. And in looking in their faces, I could see that some were nomads. Some still had tribal scars on their faces. And I remember their eagerness to hear. We were from different cultures and backgrounds, and our minds operated differently. But Jesus broke down all of those walls. And I remember the joy of seeing several of those young men put their faith in Christ. The Apostle Paul said that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You know, I remember a time when a great number of those who God had allowed me to minister to had come to know Christ. There were a great number of new believers. And I call all of the laborers together, the spiritual warriors, to come together and pray according to Matthew 9, 37 and 38. We ask God for more laborers. Lord, where are the laborers? There are not enough of us to help these new believers. We ask God to send laborers. Where are the laborers? This is the gift of the gospel. Follow me, Jesus said. Take up the task. Take up the cross. Pray not for peace. Pray for the power to take up the task. Commit yourself to making disciples. And by God's strength, you'll be able to do it. And what will happen is that God will give you deep, satisfying peace within. Come follow me, he said, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And then verse 18 says, and they left their nets and followed him. They put their business aside. Those nets were their lives. It's all they knew. They put it aside. They committed themselves to the task. These men had a close encounter of the God kind. This was a God thing. For many Christians, commitment is too high. Daily we hear the voices that say, buy this, go there, eat here, do that. All commitment costs something. Time and money or energy. But have we given our lives to other things? Some of us will look back at the age of 50 or 60 and find that we have given our lives to the wrong thing. I remember the old man who used to be the head of International Mission Board for the Southern Baptist Convention, Dr. Baker James Cawthon. He told of an experience when he and his wife and children were run out of Shanghai, China, just before the communists took over. He said that once before, during the Second World War, when the Japanese had come in to take over, they ran over the area in which the coffins were living, and they had to leave. And they lost everything that time, everything that they owned. This time, he said, as he got on the boat with just those few suitcases, that down deep in his heart, he knew it was happening again. He said the feeling that he had was hard to describe. The excitement, the exhilarating feeling, the joy of just being cleaned out for Jesus Christ. All of his worldly possessions gone because of his commitment to Jesus. Now you know, Almighty God has tried to communicate with you and me through 1,400 pages of fine print that our objective in life is to commit ourselves to completely to him and to make disciples, to go into all the world and make disciples. Did you know that you can eat an elephant? You can. You can eat an elephant a bite at a time. And we need to get started in bite-sized chunks, in reconciling the people of the world to God. Militant and challenging and obligating is the command of Jesus to go into all the world and make disciples. Do you really think that he will settle for anything less? Peter and Andrew would be there later when Jesus would say, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go into all the world and make disciples. These were the same fellows who had earlier heard him say, come follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And they left their nets and followed him. Not too long ago, a note was found in the office of a young pastor in Zimbabwe, Africa. This was just after his martyrdom, the martyrdom for his faith in Jesus Christ. The letter said, I am a disciple. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of his. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past has been redeemed. My presence makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished with and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I don't have to be right, first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on his presence, walk by patience, lifted by prayer, and labor by power. My face is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions few, my guide reliable, my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversaries, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, let up, until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus. I must go till he comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he'll have no problem recognizing me. My banner will be clear, and still flying. Come follow me, he said, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And they left it all and followed him. Now I believe in my own heart that during these few days together, God has spoken to a number of you. Maybe He's broken your heart. He's spoken to you about what He wants you to do with your life. He's spoken to you about taking the next step. And I want to give you an opportunity to let others know that God has spoken to you about a lost world and that you are willing to pay the price to go wherever He calls you. I have spoken to many of you, and I have sensed God's Spirit working in your lives. And this is simply an opportunity for you to say, yes. Yes. I will follow you wherever you send me. I am ready. Now what I want you to do is just bow your heads. You don't have to close your eyes. Just bow your heads. And if God has spoken to you during these days together, I simply want you to stand and say, just by your standing, I am ready. I am prepared to do what you want. Stand if God has spoken to you about following wherever He wants you in this world of His. Oh God, you know our hearts. You know that many of us have heard your voice. And you know, we know what you want us to do. And oh God, by your power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray that we will have the spiritual audacity to take that step. For these who are standing, God, empower them. And for those who are sitting, who know they need to take a step, God, I pray that you will continue to be faithful in their lives. Thank you, Lord, for being so faithful to us during these days together, and for your still small voice that has spoken to us. In Jesus' name, amen.